Earth is closed today. We will be talking in detail about the series What If and the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse in general. Come back and have a listen when you're all caught up.
What happens when the Prince of Wakanda gets accidentally abducted by Ravagers? Would it really have that much of an impact? Well, that's what we're here to talk about, because this is The Breakdown. Video time. In last week's episode, we discussed the minor detail of Peggy declining the option to watch Steve's procedure from the gallery, which resulted in her becoming the first Avenger instead of Steve. That small fact resulted in many ripple effects, and this episode is no different. There are countless branches this timeline has created, and I can't wait to discuss them with the dames. Speaking of my co-hosts, today we have the Ravager Supreme, the number one Yondu fangirl, our resident Guardians of the Galaxy savant, Jo!
Woo-woo!
You like how I threw in savant? Because that was Michael Rooker's character in Suicide Squad.
Oh my god,
because you love Michael Rooker?
I do.
You're welcome. And you know what they say, when things start shaking, don't be mistaken, we've always got Megan!
When you're out of luck, always go duck.
I only put it in the notes because I was like, what if people don't understand why I did that?
Oh, I wanted to say, I saw it and I was like, oh, for sure she wants me to say that.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, yeah, I like better that you said it. And that I didn't have to explain it.
I was like, Megan,
Megan, this is me. Anything in brackets is for you to read. Okay, go.
This is the joke. This is the meaning of the joke that we're trying to rhyme just like the duck does.
Exactly. Oh my god. And you know what, guys? If you're listening to this on podcast services around the globe and you want to see our smiling faces and how much laughter we bring each other, come watch us live weekly, Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/itsagirlalyssa. It's a blast.
Ladies, sure is.
How are you all doing?
Feeling fine, Alyssa.
Arms up, good. ready to go. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm so glad. Honestly, I'm so freaking stoked to talk about this episode. It had everything. It had weapons. It had space travel. It had the wrong abduction sequence. It was awesome.
So yeah. Many.
Ready to
also,
go.
Like, not just one character's role flipping, but so many characters' roles changing that it's like mind-blowing in this episode. I loved it.
Yes, and we will get to that. What I'd like to do is our weekly tradition. If you could come up with your very own what if, what would it be? Jo.
Ooh.
So I think last week you said if Red Skull had turned out normally, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do I have to continue that multiverse?
It doesn't have to. No. It doesn't have to be that. It can be anything. It doesn't even have to be Guardians related or Black Panther related. It could be anything.
I mean, honestly, I don't know how it would work, and I don't know what the one what if detail would be to make this happen, but I think it'd be really interesting to see if, like, what if Gamora ran the Ravagers? Like, what if instead of Yondu, it was Gamora? Because she's also, like, super badass. And, like, seeing her take charge of a team of people and having them do her tasks. Because her original function is to be, like, a bounty hunter. Like, she's looking for the orb and she's trying to pay her debts and all these things. So what if she was like, I'm going to start also the Ravagers and run this group of people? I don't know how it would happen, but I would like to see it.
Interesting.
That would be interesting.
Like Rebellion from Thanos. She's mm-hmm. like a rebel.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like more than she already is.
Yeah. Right. More than she already is. She's pretty rebellious already,
I'd say.
Megs, what do you think?
What if, and I think just because this is the episode we just watched, I'm thinking about Black Panther, but what if they accidentally abducted Shuri?
That's
instead?
What I was thinking.
Really?
Yes.
And like, she brought all her technology to these Ravagers that are sort of like, I don't know the word for them. That
they're junkers.
They have two ear holes and two eye holes, or see hear holes and see holes, and an eat
mouth hole. Yeah,
an eat hole. Yeah.
That's what he says.
Yeah,
I love that.
So funny. So like, if she brought all her smarts and sarcasm to them, how would that have then changed the universe? Because T'Challa changed the universe in a completely different way than how Peter Quill did, obviously. So if it was Shuri, then how many crazy branches would have happened from that? I don't know.
Totally.
Be really cool.
That's a really interesting thought. And I was just like, if she doesn't say it, I'm going to say that. Because imagine the brain that she has. She has all of the like charisma and... Yep.
Uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Oh, I knew you were going to do it. the charisma and the like logic, I guess, that T'Challa has.
Yeah.
But like, flip that and make it like smarts with technology and with science, math, all of the things that I'm not good at. the thing that I was thinking was actually in relation to something that I saw today. Have you both seen the Eternals trailer, the final trailer that went today?
Nope.
So there's nothing really crazy in it, but it did answer like a very minor question that will help you when you go into the movie. And the question was, where were the Eternals through all of the stuff that was happening during Endgame? And in the trailer, Ajak, who's played by Selma Hayek, basically said, our job on Earth is not to interfere with the human activity. They were sent to Earth to protect humans from deviants, which are these like monster kind of things. They like the boogeyman and different shapes and forms and stuff. They got rid of the deviants and they just kind of are living their own life. And that's where we find them in Eternals. And I don't know anything about them. I only have seen the trailers. But what if they were sent to Earth to protect humans from anything rather than just deviants? So what if they participated in an Endgame? What if they were there in New York in 2012 with the Avengers? What if they could protect humans from fighting with each other during all of the world wars? Where would humanity be if Eternals could have intervened? And it'll make a lot more sense once you guys watch the final Eternals trailer.
But I was gonna say, I mean,
it's interesting.
This situation with that, though, is, well, just like subjectively, what's like a bad thing? Like, if they have a big bad that they're supposed to protect us from, like the deviants, like fighting is not inherently bad, and like, who's on the right or wrong side to protect, like, who from who? Like, that's so subjective to just be like anything.
But they couldn't protect humans from war with each other, or like Thanos or Loki. They weren't allowed to interfere because the Celestials sent them to protect the humans from deviants. So if they could have been like superheroes and just saved people from whatever, then they would have been able to help with Ultron and Red Skull and anybody. They would have been able to participate. That poor triangle nose. Anyways, please watch the trailer.
Yes, we do. We're horrible Marvel fans.
Oh, it's fine. Shame. It came out earlier today, like a couple hours ago.
I was at work. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah. I know absolutely nothing about the Eternals. I don't know who they are or what they do, or aside from what you just said, Alyssa, but I don't know any of their powers. I've never heard of them before. So
that's literally the extent that I understand about this movie.
Yeah. And I kind of want to keep it that way. Like, Joanne, what you were saying last week, that with this series, you kind of want to keep yourself in the dark and you don't want to study up on anything. I feel the exact same way about like Shang-Chi and also the Eternals. I know nothing about those characters and I don't want to know. I want to learn in the movie.
Yeah.
So I mean, we all.
There was no spoilers. It was just a trailer.
No. Oh no! 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 No!
No! I believe you. I just like don't know anything.
We could find spoilers though, like if we looked up content about like Shang-Chi and Eternals and all the comics that they're based off of, and then we could come up with all these theories and things like that. But I think it's just interesting, yeah, for us to just watch it free going in. Like I didn't know anything about Guardians before I watched it, and it's like my favorite movie of all time. And like, you didn't know anything about Doctor Strange and you love it. Like imagine you had researched and been disappointed by something you thought was supposed to happen when you're just in love with it. Like just I feel like we just let it be and we'll watch it and come up with our own conclusions as we go.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, those are some really great ones. I can't wait to hear what you have to say next week when we go through this again. Speaking of this week's episode, as you can tell watching us on YouTube or watching us on Twitch, we are doing our best Disney bound or cosplay of Star-Lord right now. Come check us out. In this episode, we see T'Challa in the position of Star-Lord. Instead of Peter Quill, T'Challa, Prince of Wakanda, is abducted by Ravagers that Yondu sent in his place to pick up Ego's celestial spawn. Because of Wakanda's vibranium and its origin from an ancient intergalactic asteroid, the area gave off incredible cosmic readings, and as they say, the rest is history. Joanne, what are your overall thoughts of this episode? How do you think it was executed?
What a huge leap from the first episode.
Yeah.
No kidding.
It's crazy because it's like a simple sentence or a simple placement of a person can have such drastic impacts on a story. And then you have two completely clueless Ravagers just being like, yeah, we found a guy and he's got a eat hole. So that's a person. So this is what you're looking for. And, you know, it's that sort of thing where, like, if you want a job done right, you got to do it yourself sort of thing for Yondu. And, yeah, we just see how crazy impactful that is on the universe as a whole. Picking up, you know, Kid A versus Kid B. Like, Peter Quill's just, like, some random kid who doesn't know that his lineage is anything. Yeah. And T'Challa knows that he's going to be king. He's like Kid Simba. Like he's waiting to have that power. Like everything the light touches, you know, that's him. That's what he's waiting for. And then he's given the gift of the whole universe to be like, here, kid, everything the light touches is also your kingdom here too. And he gets to explore and not only be a kid, but like get to be a good person and change the lives of so many people. Which is so much more drastic than, you know, Agent Carter, which I thought that was such a big change in how, you know, cool and miraculous that was. This is next level. So my brain is still processing this a little bit.
Yeah, I feel that way too. I think that this was a really good fan service episode. I was really impressed by not only like what the possibilities were, because of course they took T'Challa instead of Peter, but I was also really impressed by like how much they could get into one episode for us to still think that it makes sense, and also be really impressed by the way that it was animated and kind of given us these little things here and there. I really, really liked it.
Yeah, that's such a great way to put that. I know there's only two episodes, but already every single episode starting off with that monologue from Jeffrey Wright gets me hyped. I love it. It's so cool. And this was like absolutely no disappointment. The way they brought T'Challa into a completely different universe with the exact same passion for people and how much he cares about doing good. Now on, like Joanne said, not just this like small little patch of Earth, but an entire universe. And he's done so much good that he was like able to do what we thought was the impossible, which is reasoning with Thanos. So it's pretty nuts and such a cool way to show off an incredible actor that we now only get to see this last thing with Chadwick Boseman. And I honestly got emotional hearing his first speech, because that's the last time we'll get to have him play I'm gonna cry now.
Don't cry.
That's the last time we'll get to have him play T'Challa, and that's like incredibly special. And not only did Black Panther, or I guess T'Challa, do what he did now for this universe, but Black Panther did such a huge thing for our real life universe and our real life world, and for kids that don't or have never seen themselves in a superhero got to see him that way. And yeah, this was just a really special episode, not only in the fantastic animation and the fantastic story that they did, but also to represent Chadwick Boseman the way that they did, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm gonna cry.
Don't cry. Oh my god, guys, don't cry. You said Jeffrey Wright, and he is wonderful, amazing. His voice gives me chills every time. One thing that he said at the beginning, when T'Challa was going into the tomb in Morag to get the like Power Stone orb, he said, "But in a multiverse of infinite possibility, if your destiny determined by your nature or by your nature of your world."
So cool.
What do you both think about that statement?
Well, I think it has to do with like the nature of the person in whatever environment they're put in. So if you have, like T'Challa was, this good-natured person who just wants to do good for other people and basically be Robin Hood.
Yeah. What did he say? Robin Leach.
Robin Leach. You put him in any situation and he will do good things because that's just his nature. So it doesn't matter if he's in a world full of Ravagers who've only ever done kind of sketchy things. He will still make good of what they've done and turn them all into people by his nature, which is so cool. Like, he's such a cool character.
Yeah, they were literally like, with his being so like good natured and how great he is, he like told Thanos no, and Thanos said okay. Like, he reasoned with him, and I was like, what? He did what now?
Yeah.
Is he God? Like, I'm like, that is insane, especially because like the whole original Guardians movie is literally setting up Thanos as like the biggest bad there is, and he's like, I just had a chat with him, you know, I made him hear me out, and now he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Right.
That's power. I don't know.
And to like think of it in chronological order, Thanos must have had that conversation with T'Challa before he adopted Gamora. And that would have been, I think, in the timeline, so that it makes sense with like when he was abducted. It would have been like 1995. And he was born in 1980 and was abducted when he was 8.
Yeah.
So he must have had that conversation with Thanos at least before he was 15.
That's like insane. Teenager. Oh my
and like,
god.
Thanos, buddy, sit here with me. Come. Let's have a chat. Yeah.
And so the thing that I was thinking was, the only way that he could have had that conversation is if he made him understand that it was possible to like not have society crumble because there's too many people. And in my brain, like, I have a really hard time like extrapolating my idea. I have this small idea and then I'm like, yeah, I don't really know how this would make sense. But I did the thing that we all do, I guess, is I watched some like theory videos and stuff like that. And my thought originally was, T'Challa came from such a sheltered place with a very limited resources and people and things. Maybe that's why he had that conversation. And then I watched the new Rockstars video and they were basically like, he must have had this conversation with Thanos where he was like, Wakanda is such a small place and we have such a thriving community. We have a way to figure out conflict or decision making by having the challenge at the waterfall whenever they kind of need to have some kind of debate or fix some kind of conflict.
Yeah.
So maybe he showed him like, we are able to do this in such a small way. Maybe that's something that your planet can use or other planets can benefit from. And then at the end of the episode, they have the ember of life, like the green thing mm-hmm. that they basically do bait and switch to get from the collector.
Yeah.
Maybe he knew about that. Maybe he was like, this can help your planet thrive. Maybe this is how you can stop being a fucking weird sociopath, genocide driven person. Like, I don't understand logically how you'd be able to do that, but those are the only things that make sense to me and how that could be a resolution for Thanos. Like, oh, this worked, so I'm not going to do that anymore. Yeah. Kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
it was like,
so what you're saying. No, I was going to say, so what you're saying is T'Challa challenged Thanos to a duel by the waterfall.
Yes.
And he won, so we're here.
Yes.
That's what happened. Yeah.
That's it. That's the end game.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I think the quote that he said, like, is your destiny determined by your nature or by the nature of your world? I think that Yondu is the biggest example of something like that. So he was a jerk to Peter. Yep. And he took care of him, but only because he was like, well, he's gonna kill you anyways, so might as well keep you around because you're
small
arms and legs and you're strong.
Yeah, you fit in small places.
Yeah, you fit in small places. So I think that it was really interesting to see how far Yondu could go, especially when T'Challa said something like, you know as much as I do that, like, the actions to better the world or something is more important than death or something along those lines. He was like, you know that being a good person is important. And Yondu was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. But when would Yondu ever say that? Ever before this?
Yeah. T'Challa has such a powerful way with words, I would assume. And he's a great empath and has such an open mind that mm-hmm. he's able to show those things to people who don't seem to be reasoned with. Mm-hmm. And then he reasons with them because he challenges their ideas and gives them something different that is less harmful, mm-hmm. which is really cool. And we need more people like that in our world.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of covers the next question I was going to ask, which is, what do you think T'Challa said to Thanos? But you know what? It's hard because who freaking knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
You know what? If we knew, then we could affect great change.
100%. That's true. We could talk to crazy people and make them do other stuff.
Yep.
Ladies, there was a lot to look at in the Collector's Museum. What Easter eggs did you pick out that might have been hidden across nowhere?
Oof. Many weapons. Many oh, yeah. weapons in that box that he pulled out there. Mm-hmm. One confused me, though I guess we're not in the same universe as Captain Britain or Captain Carter.
Probably
like
not.
So what confuses me about What If, and the only thing that is like iffy in my brain, is are all of these stories in one universe or they're all separate from each other?
I think they're
and,
different.
Yeah, okay. So Captain America's shield and Mew Mew were in there.
Mjolnir.
Korg's arm was so sad.
I cut it off of a chatty what's Korg from?
He calls him a Karg or a Korg or something. It's like his name. I think his name is just what he is.
He is a Cronin. I took it off of a chatty Cronin is what he says.
Yeah, that'd be Korg.
That's Korg.
I wonder if in that, I tried to like pause it a whole bunch to see if there was anything else. It looked like Loki's daggers were in there, but I could be wrong.
I didn't see them.
I saw one that kind of looked like the long, thin one that he like flips in Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah.
But then I also wondered if maybe he has Gamora's pocket knife that Thanos gives to her. But like, where would that be in the universe if Thanos never adopted her, because he would have still had it?
Maybe it came from Thanos.
I don't know.
He left it at a bar somewhere.
He left it at a bar somewhere.
He thought it was cool and he took it home.
Yeah. And there's also a person in a box after we see the dog that looks like a dark elf, but also, is it a Skrull? I don't know.
It could be.
I'm bad with the... Now that they're in animated form, I don't know which one would be which. But yeah. He has a dark elf dagger, so maybe that's... I don't know. There's a lot of stuff to look at.
100%. It took me some time to realize that the guy with the beard was Taserface until Alyssa said it after we finished the episode, and I was like, shut up. I didn't even know.
Fun fact, the actor that plays Taserface is in the show This Is Us.
No.
Yes. All he right. plays the sister's fiance or ex-husband. I'm not that far into the show, so I don't really know.
That's crazy.
Taserface.
That's the same guy. That's so funny.
Yeah. I know one of my favorites was definitely, I don't know if you guys saw in the background, but there was the Milano, which was Peter Quill's spaceship.
Oh, no way.
Mm-hmm. So the Milano was there. And when I thought about it, I was like, huh, if he has the Milano, what is T'Challa's called? T'Challa's is called the Mandela.
Aww.
Like Nelson Mandela.
Lovely.
But also, like, the Mandela effect,
yeah,
which this fucking show is, it's basically like, oh man, this could happen, or I thought this would have happened in a different universe or whatever. It's like multiple realities, so I thought that really was an interesting double meaning.
That's so smart.
And also in T'Challa's spaceship, their seats in the front are not just chairs, they're little meditation things. They're like little circles that they can cross their legs on. It's very cute.
Is it like that in Black Panther?
I don't know. Do they ever show them in a spaceship?
I think they have those ships. That's why it's recognizable. But
I don't know.
I don't remember if they show them sitting cross-legged in lotus position to drive it.
So cute.
Because I think that's the point, is that it's not like driven.
Yeah.
It's like your mind, your connection to the ship is what's driving it.
Oh,
I think that's what that's about.
What an interesting approach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's not a secret. Everybody saw it happen. But when he put on like Hela's
her helmet.
I just thought that was so cool. And I was like, where did he get that from? Is she good? Like,
she's
is she
literally
gone?
The goddess of death. How did he get it from her?
This man has too many things. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
In this universe, the collector is the villain. Like, where did he get all of these items?
Yeah.
Well, and one thing that I found really interesting was Thanos said something about when I turned straight, the collector basically filled the power vacuum. So somebody needed to take that responsibility of devouring power and wanting to be the strongest and most whatever, I don't know, being in the universe. So he just sort of plopped himself into that position, but it's just because he has so many things. They easily beat him. Like, they easily beat him.
Oh, yeah,
he couldn't...
he's not strong or anything.
So there must be something else out there other than, I'm assuming, Peter and Ego. There must be somebody or someone else out there that is actually sucked in that power vacuum and taken what Thanos would have been.
Maybe. They must have.
Because there must be balance between the light and the dark, right?
Totally.
Mephisto.
It's Mephisto. Yeah, that's who it is.
Aside from Peter Quill, I think everybody that plays voiced characters are the same actors that play them in the movies.
Maybe. I think so.
I think they're all the same.
Do we know why they chose not to have Chris Pratt?
Oh, he probably didn't answer. Dave Bautista wasn't in it either.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Yeah, it was a different person.
Drax was not. Yeah. He did a good job, though. It sounded quite like him.
I thought it was Drax. I thought it was same. Dave Bautista. And I was like, wow, that's cute.
He did it a little differently that time.
Yeah. You look truly horrible. I look great. I'm sure it's fine. No, really, you look terrible.
Oh my God. I love that he is in that. And also that he says, I have to send a picture to my wife and daughter.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yay, your wife and daughter are alive. Right? That makes me so happy.
Well, yeah, like, I can't believe the things that would have sparked from this what if. Like,
yeah,
he got abducted and I guess he didn't become Black Panther. Question one. Who is Black Panther? Is it M'Baku? Is it still his dad? Is it Shuri? Peter, how did he grow up? Where's his life going? Like, what's going on with... He's at the Dairy Queen, but, like, is his mom still dead? Did she die when he was young still?
Yeah, because she dies before he gets abducted. So she mm-hmm. would have still died, mm-hmm. but he just doesn't get abducted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the big things that would happen, because Thanos obviously didn't do all the things that he was going to do, Gamora would still be alive. None of
with
the events
family.
Of the original Avengers would have happened. So they wouldn't even be together for any reason. The Avengers Initiative wouldn't be necessary because 2012 wouldn't have happened if he had the conversation in 95.
Because there still would have been an Avengers Initiative, because that happens in the Captain Marvel era mm-hmm. before, like right when Nick Fury gets his eye scratched out.
Right.
So that
he comes up with the idea.
Sure. Yes.
But like
but
Hulk and
them...
Thor and Iron Man and Black Widow and Hawkeye wouldn't come together because there's not a, like a force that they have to protect from unless yeah. there's something else. But like Loki's not coming because Thanos isn't sending anybody.
But think of what happens at the end of this episode.
Yeah, just like the fact that Ego is going to just destroy the world and probably use Peter to continue on that legacy, because we know from Guardians 2 that he draws off of Ego's power. What does that mean for that universe? It's horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's the same as your question though earlier. Like, Peter Quill grew up without like the nurture of his parents raising him a particular way, so his personality and what he deems as right and wrong is based on his nature.
Mm-hmm.
So even, you know, Ego approaching him and asking him to do the same series of events that happen in Guardians 2 probably plays out the same way. He probably gets some information, he's like into the idea for like a second, and then realizes what has to happen in order for him to continue the legacy his dad wants him to, and then is like, no dice, I'm out. Like, I imagine his character is still the same.
But you know? I just wonder, because I think all of that happens in the second Guardians of the Galaxy because he makes a family with Gamora, Drax, Rocket, and Groot, right? So he has this team that he feels for, and he has loving feelings for Gamora.
Sexual feelings.
You must be so embarrassed. but he builds these connections with these other people that he wouldn't have gotten necessarily on Earth. And his life would have played out very differently up to the point where he met his father. So who knows kind of person he would be, but I think it would, if he is deep-rooted a good person, I feel like it would take a lot longer, and by then it might be too late for him out. I don't know. I feel like maybe Peter Quill is the new big bad in that universe.
So from the only thing that I know about Peter from the comics, I'm reading a 2013 run of Guardians of the Galaxy by Brian Michael Bendis, and in the like prelude to the Guardian story, there's like a little half issue, and it basically details how he gets abducted, which is not at all, and also how his mom Meredith becomes pregnant, which is not Ego, it's some guy named Jason with it, instead of an A it's an apostrophe, so it's Jason.
Oh my god.
And the
god.
Reason why he's called Star-Lord is because Jason is the last royal person in his family. So I don't know if that's the original lineage, because I'm just getting into the comics. Anyways, Peter goes to be like 8-10 years old, something like that. And he stands up for a kid who's getting beaten up on the playground, and he punches this bully in the face, and he's like, he was going to hurt her. Like, no one's going to protect her. And he comes home from school, and his mom is like, oh my God, Peter, what happened to you? And from there, from that moment, you know that he's like someone who will stand up for the little guy, which, you know, that's what Peter Quill ends up doing.
Yeah.
In his movies and what have you. Maybe that's something that sticks because that's part of his nature. But again, because of what if we don't know what's going to happen down the line or how people will grow up because of these things.
Yeah. And Peter Quill inherently has a bit of an ego. No pun intended. Because he's super like threatened by Thor. He still has that in his head. He is the reason Endgame happens because has the ego of like getting pissed off at Thanos, and then he punches him in the face because he killed Gamora, and then it totally screws up that plan. Like, he still has that, again, no pun intended, ego in him that makes him not just like a genuinely good do-gooder person, because he still has a bit of human in him, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah. That makes a lot
of
sense.
But now he's had years of customer service beaten into him, and now he's a villain.
Now he's a villain.
Because that's what Dairy Queen does to you.
And if Leah was here, she would agree wholeheartedly. That's some of the ripple effects that I noticed. So I just mentioned that the Avengers would never be formed. Megan just mentioned that Drax still has his family. And also, ego is there to destroy Earth. But what's something that you think, Joe, that would have been caused by the ripple effect of T'Challa being abducted?
I'm just thinking about like what Wakanda's doing right now. Like you mentioned, like is Shuri the new Black Panther, or did it go to someone else? Like, if T'Challa wasn't there to defend his title or his family, or like be the person that he was in the story that we know, what happens to this like thriving community that depends on, you know, the next generation to be Black Panther and to take over that lineage? So I don't know. I assume that I assume that they that they just had to figure it out without him. But I assume also that maybe his dad didn't die because those series of events don't take place. He didn't have to be there to do the Accords because the Avengers maybe never broke anything. I don't know. Maybe
then alive. Also, if you think about that, if the Avengers were never formed, I would assume that Tony Stark's parents still died.
Yes.
So there would still be a Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
But the Avengers were never put together, so there was never a Captain America and the Winter Soldier, so there never becomes a White Wolf, because Bucky goes to Wakanda after Steve saves him.
Mm-hmm. Because T'Challa is not there. That's a good one. I like that one.
Interesting.
I thought you were going to say what I was going to say. Which is, if the Avengers weren't formed, would Tony still build Ultron? And if there was no Ultron, would Quicksilver still be alive? Or to like go even further back, would Wanda and Pietro be good, or would they be evil? That's really scary to think about.
Oh my God, yeah. The most powerful being, Scarlet Witch,
right?
In the whole world, is on a bad side? Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe we'll see that
scary
in the show.
Oh, I would love that. Well, we know we have, what, 8 episodes? 9 episodes?
9 episodes.
I think there's 9, yeah.
And I heard that Chadwick Boseman voiced T'Challa in 4 of the episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know this.
I just learned that on Twitter. Twitter is a big deal, apparently. So we know at least from the trailers that there is an episode where there's like the, I'm doing air quotes, Avengers, where we see like Gamora, T'Challa, somebody wearing a Black Panther outfit, Thor. So we don't know what that's going to be, just from the plain trailer. But that's going to be really exciting. This show, so far, I think genuinely is my favorite, only by a little bit from the other series, because it is giving people what they want but they can't have in the MCU. So it's giving people like, well, this could be cool. What if we tried this? Like, it's really easy to do in animation, but it's like really hard to do in a like real life budget kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So going into every episode and being like, wow, what's going to happen? I have zero idea and I have zero understanding or any history about what could possibly be going on. I'm excited every Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm like, they don't fit together. So I just want to see, I want to see more. I want to ask more questions. I want to have some like really high level thoughts about it. So 10 out of 10, 10.5 out of 10.
I'm with you on that. I don't know if it's, I think it's my favorite in its own standing. I don't know if it beats WandaVision for me.
Your favorite.
But it is my favorite. But they're both amazing in their own right. Like, I don't like one over the other because you can't really compare them at all.
Yeah.
And I think this show is just doing, like you said, Alyssa, it's doing these things that we couldn't have had in any other form of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm-hmm. And there are things that you can show in an animation that you can't show in a live action movie. Like, one of my favorite moments of this episode was that like knee to the face that T'Challa does to the Collector when he's kneeing him into his own box. Mm-hmm. That image was so epic and so cool. And you can't do that with live action. You just can't. There's no possibility. So it's just, it's so cool. That's one of the things I like about the show, is that it's like watching a comic book.
Oh, totally.
Move in front of you. It's so sick.
That imagery of the like fauna taking over nowhere and like just becoming green, like, does, is that going to bring the Celestial back to life? Maybe, who knows? That's horrifying.
Oh my god.
Right?
That's cool. I didn't even think about that.
Oh my god, the Celestials are so scary. One of my biggest fears is, one, water, two, giant Celestial things like Galactus freaks me the hell out. Celestials freak me the hell out. When I found out Nowhere, I wasn't really watching, I guess. When I found out Nowhere was the head of something, I was like, no, I don't want to watch it anymore.
No,
horrifying.
I'm done.
I'm done. Checking out.
I want to live there. We can move in.
That's your Animal Crossing island. It's called Nowhere.
Yeah.
Name my Animal Crossing Nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to stop. Oh, man. Well, T'Challa was able to be an explorer. He didn't only explore his planet, but he explored the cosmos. But when he got back, we saw a little celebration. His dad was very excited to have him back. Angela Bassett was there, looking beautiful as always. But when T'Challa got back, what kind of relationship do you think that he has with his family now? Like, will he still become the king of Wakanda?
That's a very interesting thought, because his dad is alive.
Yes.
And in our universe, he's not. So that's something that's really interesting to see if that will develop into an actual passing down of the throne, or if he even has the throne in general anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know.
Is the royal family... I'm so sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if T'Challa has, like, seen the universe, I'm so glad that he, like, found his real family and stuff like that, but there's no chance he's like, yeah, I'll just stay here.
No.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
I don't think so either.
I'm going to just live here. This is good. Like, I think he would probably use his, like, influence, knowing that he's supposed to be a leader of this.
Yeah.
World, to make sure that the right person gets appointed. Like, maybe Shuri becomes the new leader because he knows that she's also a good person and is capable. But I don't think he'd be like, yeah, this is where I'm done. Like, I'm gonna relax and retire here as king of Wakanda. I don't think that he would take that ownership. He'd be like, there's a whole universe out there that I need to influence and change. So I can't stay here. It's I can't do enough good in this one spot. I'm gonna give someone else the power to do good here that I think is capable, and then I'm out.
Yeah.
Question though, I haven't seen Black Panther in a little bit. Is the royal family just the royal family? And is the Black Panther always part of the royal family? Like, I know that there's different tribes that compete to be Black Panther, but if you become Black Panther, do you then become the royal family, or is that separate?
I don't know. I don't know enough about Black Panther.
Say it again, Joe.
I imagine they're separate. Like,
that's what I was thinking.
Wakanda, yeah, Wakanda as a whole, like, Black Panther is the... not the mascot,
protector,
but
like the hero of Wakanda.
He's the symbol and the hero for all of Wakanda, but it doesn't necessarily I think have to it doesn't mean like if you were Black Panther then you would become the royal family. I think it works the opposite way. I think Black Panther is probably usually a person from the royal family, because who else would have the care and the desire to like take on such a role that's so important and prevalent in their culture than someone who's a part of like the family that governs that entire place. Yeah. Right. And again, I don't know. That's my assumption.
I know in the movie at least, and obviously this is like the conflict that happens in that movie, but Killmonger beats T'Challa and becomes the Black Panther because he gets the necklace from him, but then he also rules.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't know. He sits in the throne room,
like,
right?
Yeah. Is that just like a fear tactic because he also beat the king? Like T'Challa just so happened to be the king and the Black Panther, but then so is his dad. So maybe they do kind of go hand in hand.
Maybe.
I don't
but
actually
T'Challa
know.
But T'Challa just, he didn't just get it. Like he had to still fight
earn
to
it.
Be
the Black
Panther. So,
yeah.
I don't know. That's just like. It's definitely deserve, you know, it was circle back last week. We're like, everything deserves a rewatch. Today I watched Guardians of the Galaxy and I watched the episode What If twice to be like, there's a bunch of stuff that I didn't catch. I got to watch it again.
Yep.
So it's just going to make us go back and watch everything, which
absolutely
we should. Honestly, we should just every year do a marathon. That's what it deserves.
Yeah, every year.
Timeline Makes marathon. Sleep. It will take you so much longer to do
every
year.
Time. Yeah.
There's going to be so many more movies included.
Yeah. You know what's a great show if you haven't watched it yet? Marvel 616 is a great show. It's a nonfiction show. It's, I think, 8 episodes long. And every episode goes through how the heroes have affected human life. So in the first episode is like Spider-Man, but Japanese Spider-Man. And
Spider-Man.
That's what they call him. They literally call him Spider-Man.
Yeah.
One of the episodes is how women have come up in comic books and have more stories written about them and have more people who identify as women as writers. One of the episodes we watched yesterday was about cosplay.
What?
And it's about how they like have these connections to these characters. It's a really great nonfiction show. And it's probably up there for me with the Imagineering story. It's really good.
Ooh.
Those are big words.
Those are big words.
Imagineering story is like my favorite nonfiction thing ever that I've seen.
Yeah.
What about Assembled? Do you like Assembled?
Assembled is good. It's just like behind the scenes. I'm excited to watch the What If Assembled. There has to be. There should be one.
If they have footage of the actors like in the recording studio doing that, that'll be really cool.
Yeah. And I assume since we haven't gotten... I guess we got Black Widow, so it won't be about movies, but they should do it about movies too. That would
they
be
should.
So great.
They
just
should.
There's so much that people want to see that they could just make money off of it.
Oh,
just
absolutely.
Do it. I'll pay.
You're like, we're spoiled for the day that we don't have content. There will always be content.
There will always
right?
be content.
We'll go forever.
The Disney Plus will up their subscription $3 and no one will care.
Oh, I won't.
We've already done it. It's
like $3.
Yeah,
it's $3. It's $3.
Is it?
Yes, it went from $8.99 to $11.99.
I'm so upset.
Yeah, but how much money is that over the year?
That's what I'm saying. So there's one thing that I got upset about, and I'm just going to rant for 1 second.
Oh, go ahead. As long as it's on topic, this is your show. So you go ahead.
Sure is on topic. There's one thing that I got really upset about a little while ago that was like super unnecessary for me to get upset about because who cares? But there was a radio show I was listening to on my way to work one day, and they were talking about the release of Black Widow on Disney Plus and also in theaters. But they were saying, well, why would you pay $35, $40 for a movie just to stream it once? And I was like, you're not streaming it once. You get it forever. You get it 4 months ahead of time for other people who would get to watch it for just the subscription fee. But they go, yeah, I would never do that. Like, why would you rent a movie for $35? Like, you're paying pretty much that also to go to the movie theater to see it one time.
Yeah.
I was like, your logic is very flawed. How come you're not doing your research? Yeah. I got really frustrated at this radio show because if they don't know about this very medial thing, what else aren't you researching?
Oh, yeah.
But 100%. that really grinds my gears.
Yeah. Especially when you have such a large audience, like you don't know how many people will hear that or just, not cross-check it, because who does that when you're just driving to work or whatever? And how many people were like, oh yeah, that's stupid. One time I'll never spend money on Disney Plus again.
No, when really you think, I mean, not that Disney needs more money, but if you think about it, those people are going to actually spend more money and not waste, but you're going to spend more money by going to a movie. And if you love it and you want to see it again, then you're spending double that to see a movie twice versus spending a decent amount of money supporting a movie that you care about to watch it as many times as you want. So I like fully support the Premiere Plus function. I get why they do it. They now have to pay their actors what their actors are asking for. So I just don't really understand. If you don't want to see the movie that badly, then don't pay for it. Who cares?
I mean, it's just like anything, right? If they didn't put it on Disney Plus for Premiere access, you'd either go to the movies or you'd wait until it was accessible to you on streaming services like this, like months or years later, depending on how popular it was. But it's a choice you have. Like, it's weird when people bitch about choices that they
I
do.
I know.
So stupid.
You can either choose to do it or don't. Don't bitch that there is an option for people who want it. Like, just.
Oh, I know.
You're fine.
Yeah, you're okay. You don't need to do that if you don't want to.
Pretty much.
I really like the idea that I can see a movie in the comfort of my own home when it releases. I probably won't, because I'm somebody who's really into movie theater culture. I want to like get a bag of popcorn, and I want to like have my soda and watch the trailers and see the little Cineplex popcorn fly with the credit card towards the machine. Like, I want that. But for those who like, of course, have kids, that's the first thing that people go to. But like, for those people who are not able to get to the theater, people who can't drive themselves, people who are unable to walk or sit for a long period of time in a movie theater, like, that's an option that should be for those people and whoever wants to take advantage of it. And if that's something that they continue, amazing. Maybe I don't want to go see Space Jam in the movies and spend $30 each, but maybe it's not Space Jam. It's just an example. I haven't even seen it yet. But maybe I want to take a movie that I'm like not too sure about and be like, I'll watch it at home. And if I don't like it, then I'll just pause it and watch it later. That's a good option. And that's why I like the shows on Disney Plus, because you can watch them on your own time. They're not something that you have to watch with other people, which sometimes can be annoying. And like, you don't have to watch them all at once. They release them so spread out that it's for whenever you have time. We watch them every morning on Wednesdays. Like, for example, Loki, we watch every morning on Wednesdays. A friend of the show, Icy, watched them all, WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier and Loki, in like 4 days, right? Whoa. Before the finale of Loki, which we hated. But to each their own. If she consumed it and understood it and was happy with it, good for her, you know?
Yeah.
To each their freaking own.
Yeah. That's the other great thing about this, is that they are releasing these shows weekly, so it feels like a TV show that you are scheduled, which we haven't had that in a long time, so I think it's cool that they're doing that. But then also for the bingers out there, you can just wait and then you can watch them all in one go if that's how you like to watch TV. It's all very accessible to whoever and however you like to enjoy your entertainment, which is awesome.
You got it. And here on Earth 616, we are anxiously awaiting the next episode to break it apart, theorize it like we do here every single week. Let us know your thoughts on the latest episode of What If and what you think about the next one by emailing us at hellovideodames@gmail.com.
If you want to keep up with us, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at hellovideodames. We record the show live on twitch.tv/itsyourgirlalyssa. And if you catch it on Thursday nights, you're in for a good time. And good news, a video dame never records solo.